Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday, George Kittle leads the Niners against the Eagles, or Matt Ryan and the Falcons take on Tom Brady and the defending champion Bucks. Check local listings for the game in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Fans have won nearly $5 million on the Fox Bet Super 6 app, and Terry Bradshaw is putting another million on the line for NFL Week 2. Scan the QR code on the screen, download the app, play for free, and predict the outcome of 6 NFL games for your shot to win. Call in Niners at Eagles is one of the matchups, and 63% of America is taking San Francisco so far. Who wins and by how many?
Upset Philadelphia by a point, 27-26. Their line play was amazing. It's pretty remarkable that they went into Atlanta with Arthur Smith, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, a better-than-average offensive line, Kyle Pitts, and the Falcons could not move the chains. That tells you they're better than we think on the defensive line, and they were 3-for-3 in the red zone. So your offensive line gets exposed really quickly, the Giants last night, in the red zone. Can you get the extra yards you need in the red zone? Philadelphia got them all last week, so they'll match up with the Niners up front, and their receivers will be a nightmare for the Niners' corners. They lost their best corner of the year, blah, blah, blah. All right, when Brady Quinn played for Notre Dame, he's the best quarterback they've had in 50 years. 36 records he set, so we decided to scoop him up after 7 years in the NFL at Fox Sports. He'll be on Big Noon kickoff tomorrow. He's in Norman, Oklahoma, where I'm sure it's just a 55, beautiful. My bad, it's 100 degrees and really sticky, but you're sticking it out for us, and I appreciate it. So you know Urban Meyer very, very well. You're an Ohio guy. He's an Ohio guy. I know Urban okay. So when the USC job comes open, Brady, I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, and people know I'm connected. You know, I know the university pretty well, so I'm getting 1,000 people. And I said, Urban Meyer would look crazy town. He would look crazy if he left after a year in the NFL, bailing on Trevor Lawrence. And I said, I also know his family does like Florida a lot. They really do. So I don't buy into the Urban stuff at all, but you were pushed back on me on the internet. And give me a feeling. What leads you to believe that there's even a 10% chance Urban would consider USC?
Well, I don't want to make it sound like I was pushing back on you. I think it was more of just like everyone seems to be able to have some sort of tell as to what he's going to do. I mean, there was people who actually thought after losing in week one that he was just going to up and leave the Jacksonville Jaguars to go take that job, which obviously is not going to happen. So I wasn't pushing back on your thoughts on him having no chance. I was actually more supporting it, just in a maybe more joking manner. Look, I think that job, though, a lot of people view it as a sleeping giant in college football. They've, you know, very often for the past decade underwhelmed with the way they've recruited. I think, and what's been more damning, but maybe has flown under the radar, is the lack of development of a lot of those players they have recruited.
Yeah.
They've always had talented skill players, guys like Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush. To me, it's been up front. The offensive linemen, defensive linemen, look over the past decade of draft picks. It's been about half as much as you saw starting in 2001 to 2011. I think that's what's hurt them is right now, there's skill players everywhere. There's good quarterback play a lot of places. What there's not is big, massive men able to move that other opponent off the ball on each side of the football. And that's really where I think USC has taken a big step back from their glory days.
You know, a lot of people say, and my theory is always, but I said this years ago, I said, I don't think Notre Dame is going to recover. I was wrong. Brian Kelly, they're a top 5-6 program now. I said, academically, it's very hard. Kids now would rather stay close to home. Everybody's on TV. The Southern kid, they'll just stay home, you know, next to their girlfriend, their parents. But he's done a remarkable job, Brian Kelly has. So I don't, if Notre Dame can do it, then USC can reboot and they can do it. Here's my concern. A lot of universities, and you're at one, Brady, Oklahoma has had made one bad coaching hire in 70 years. John Blake didn't work. But Lincoln Riley's great. Stoops was great. Bud Wilkerson. Barry Switzer. Ohio State, similarly. Even there with John Cooper, won 10 games a year. He just couldn't beat Michigan. USC gets about every fourth choice right. I don't know if it's the politics, the egos. Do you have the confidence they would get it right. And by the way, I'll start with that. Do you have the confidence? And my follow-up is, where would you go? Where would you seek the next coach?
So I have confidence because I feel like they've hit a point now where they're watching everyone else surpass them. And I think we all look at him and realize that this just isn't good enough. I mean, let's just put it this way. For Mike Bone, after two games into a season, to say, no, we're cutting ties now, I think it shows you a little bit about the urgency that they have to fix this moving forward. So that's what leads me or gives me optimism that they will try to make the best possible hire they can. Now, where do they find that coach? I think it needs to start with their criteria. A lot of times why universities or teams miss out on the right head coach is because they don't understand what they should be looking for. Look, you've got a USC team that's a talent-rich area in Southern California. They've got players who are getting plucked out of there all the time, and even worse, by Oregon, who's within their conference. So that's one issue. Then I think as you move forward and you start to look at some of the other things that you want from that head coach, you've got to be able to have a strong figure, someone who can come in there and is not going to shy away from that L.A. culture, the L.A. market. He's going to embrace it. That's what made them so special when Pete Carroll was there, is he wanted all those players to embrace it. He wanted them to become stars. And then once they were winning championships, they became just that. That's what they need, whether it's James Franklin or Mario Cristobal or some of the other names that we've kind of heard thrown out there. To me, as much as it's about those guys, it's the way they're going to have to go in there and embrace the challenge of what is a big-time media market with big-time expectations, and rightfully so.
So, no, Brian Kelly, I'm a fan. You know, he's pretty volatile, but he's made some. He had a very, very bumpy start. We know about that, but he is righted the ship. They are top. They are winning 11 games a year. The schedule's never been easy. They ask a lot of their student athletes. You're one of 20 guys I've known that have gone to Notre Dame, and it's not easy. You're not getting PE classes here. This place is tough. What is his secret sauce? Why is he worked? Bob Davie didn't, Ty Willingham didn't, Charlie Weiss didn't. Why is Brian Kelly worked?
Well, he's been there long enough, I think, too, where he's found out the identity of what they can recruit to and how they can play to that. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find an offensive lineman, a tight end, that doesn't want to go to the University of Notre Dame. And so then behind that now, you're able to find a grad transfer, Jack Cohn, who's smart. They know how to operate a system in which he can go and exploit different things he sees that out there on the field. And you've got running backs that should want to go there because they're running behind NFL offensive linemen. So I think the biggest thing that he's been able to do is identify the type of players, the characteristics that they need to allow them to have that advantage and play to a certain identity once they get on the field. I think that's one of the toughest things to do for any new head coach, no matter where they go. And it maybe took him, it took him a couple years until that 2012 season where you started to see some of the talent that was maybe there that they developed or some of the other talent that they recruited to be there. And then ever since, he's had to adapt to some change. Look, they've lost some coordinators. Clark Lee, their defensive coordinator, left to go take the head coaching job at Vanderbilt. In comes Marcus Freeman. Now, early on, he struggled so far, but I think he understands how to navigate that, right? Mike Elko left to go to Texas A&M. Clark Lee replaced him. He was able to carry on that good defensive performance that Elko had. So you're going to have some turnover, especially when coaches do a great job. I wouldn't be shocked if Tommy Rees doesn't leave to go to the NFL or has a head coaching opportunity here soon. So he's been able to navigate that too extremely well and at a very consistent manner.
You know, you're at Oklahoma is hosting Nebraska, and, you know, Oklahoma is going to win a bunch of games. They're probably going to win the Big 12. I don't doubt that. It's a great, great football program. It's up top, to me, top three or four all time. They've won with a million different coaches. But I do wonder, when they go to the SEC, and I do wonder if their style of play, spread it out, can ever beat these power teams, the Clemson, the Alabama, Ohio State's defense is obviously down. Is when I look at Oklahoma football, I think they've built their team for their conference. Now as they segue to the SEC, which is more power football, what's the next 5 years going to look like for Lincoln Riley? Because I wonder about that.
Well, I don't have any reservations about their offense, their ability to put up points. You know, I think if anything, you know, we've seen Nick Saban, Alabama, even adapt to that over the past decade and realizing like that's where college football is going. It's about the defense. I mean, that's the biggest difference that you see in the SEC. And it's really the talent of a lot of the players there, all the draft picks that you see come out of the SEC every single year. That's what's going to have to change. And that's what's going to, I think, change too from a recruiting standpoint. You're going to get a lot more, in particular, players up front who end up moving on to the next level that are going to be high draft picks that come to Oklahoma and have the opportunity to be a more impact player. You know, right now, I don't think we're seeing that quite as much as far as guys being drafted from the defensive side of the football. So that, to me, is the biggest difference. The talent pool that you're going to have access to at Oklahoma joining the SEC, where there's going to be some players who say, hey, we love the fact that they're now in the SEC. I'd rather go there. Or they're going to have more resources to spend on a lot of those players with the money that they're bringing in. Let's be honest. That was why they did it in the first place, to spend on go getting some of that talent with a lot of these NIL deals. So that's where I think they need to improve, not only if we're talking about the national championship this year, but once they make that move to the SEC.
Boy, you do good stuff, Brady. 7 years in the league. He's our Big Noon Kickoff guy up there with Reggie and Matt and Rob Stone and all you guys, Bob Stoops and Chris Peterson's doing it and everybody. And you're just, as usual, nails. Great seeing you again, bud.
Hey, I'm still waiting on the invite out to the Bruce Hall. I'm just saying, the whole crew's waiting for it, Colin. What's it happening?
Very soon. I swear, free burgers and beers on me very soon, Brady. I promise. Absolutely
Thank
promise.
You.
All right, my man. Good. I love it. Talking USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Boom, Friday. I'm so happy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Faherty brand, founded by twin brothers. Quality clothes guaranteed for life. Faherty's offering 20% off of the code HERD. Go to FahertyBrand.com/HERD. I love it. My wife loves it. FahertyBrand.com/HERD. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, in the middle of that game last night, we got some interesting news regarding the Indianapolis Colts. For the first time, Hard Knocks will follow one team during the regular season. The Colts have been chosen to be featured this year. HBO will be with the team through the end of the season, which would include the playoffs, if they make the playoffs. So there will be at least 9 episodes, and the first one will air on November 17th.
I'm not a fan of this. Shouldn't she be rewarded for being a good organization and getting to the playoffs? Why do you have to add a distraction? You should be rewarded.
Well, generally, for Hard Knocks, for the traditional Hard Knocks show, you do get rewarded for that. And you also don't have to do it if you're a first-time head coach. And, you know, there are certain parameters for who is eligible to be on the show. And then if you're selected, you have to do it. We don't know if that's the criteria for this situation with the regular season Hard Knocks, if they were given an option to do it or not, or if they were just selected. I mean, playoff teams having to do Hard Knocks the next year.
So what they're telling you is basically, crappy teams will do the preseason Hard Knocks. Good teams, you have to do the middle of the season Hard Knocks. I can tell you this, how do you think that'd play with Belichick? I'm dead serious.
Well, that's why I think it's interesting. I would like to know if this is a we come to you and you can agree to do it type of thing, or if you have to do it like you do for the preseason.
I cannot believe Chris Ballard, the GM, would be like, oh, I love it. If you went to Bill Belichick with this, what would he say?
I think he would say no.
Okay.
But that's why I would like to know. We don't know yet what the criteria is. I would like to know if they have to do it, if it is brought to them, or if they have the choice, because I find it very difficult to believe you would want Hard Knocks in your building during the regular season. Most teams don't want it in their building during preseason. So this is a massive distraction, and like there's no two ways about it. I mean, we talked about this a lot this past week with Aaron Rodgers and how he is, you know, talking about this blowout and how much did the preseason distractions play a role in that. You only have so much energy. You only have so much time in the day. Like if this is an extra thing you're dealing with, it is taking time away from what you're doing every day, which is trying to win football games. So fans didn't respond well to it yesterday. I don't know what the answer is. I would be very interested to know if this is something that they volunteered for or agreed to, or if it's something they had to do. So Russell Wilson will get his 146th NFL start on Sunday when the Seahawks host the Titans. If Seattle wins that game, it will be his 100th win in the league. He will also become the third fastest quarterback to reach that milestone behind Tom Brady and Joe Montana. We are showing the list right now of the fewest starts to 100 quarterback wins. Terry Bradshaw is third. Roethlisberger and Unitas and Favre are tied for fifth
place. Yeah, they all had pretty good coaches, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps too.
Well, he has the 7th best odds on Fox Bet to win MVP this season.
Who leads?
Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford are tied for third. Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson.
I mean, Stafford's the best bet in terms of plus 1,100.
I mean, I'm going with Josh Allen. Yeah. Kyler Murray is very interesting. Yes, I'm going with Josh Allen. I don't... Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady is... There's not as much narrative with the NFL MVP, but there is still some of it.
Also, Seattle's a run-first team, if Pete Carroll has his say. They have five running backs, I would say four of the five are guys I would trust with a football in big spots. So, that, you know, Kyler Murray, if I said to the average fan, who's his second-best running back, you don't know. Seattle goes like five deep. So, that's what's hurt Russell in the MVP stuff. It's a power-run team, and it's as dynamic as he is. Kyler feels like the centerpiece of the offense. Russell, often with Pete, to the chagrin of Russell, is a piece of it.
So there was clearly some frustration with the Giants' offense last night. Wide receiver Kenny Golladay was even seen yelling at quarterback Daniel Jones on the sidelines late in the game, but Jones isn't taking his teammates' anger personally.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, he was frustrated at the situation. I don't really think it was... to me or anyone in particular. So I think, you know, we're all good and love Kenny. I thought he played hard and you know, did a lot of good things out there. I got to do a better job finding him in some places and you know, we'll work through it. You know, he plays hard, wants to win, and wants to do the best for the team.
He had three catches, Golladay did, on eight targets for 38 yards. I didn't make too much of that situation. You're frustrated. You're yelling. Guys get emotional on the sidelines. They're competing. Obviously, it looks like he's screaming at Daniel Jones, and maybe he is, but I don't make too much of these sideline things. Like, this is – everybody communicates differently. Everyone responds to, you know, confrontation differently, and it's an emotional game. You're not playing well, or you're frustrated. I don't have a massive problem with this. I do have a problem with the way that they're conservative on the offensive side of the ball. They're not really leaning into Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is having to run and having designed runs a lot. And there were a lot of mistakes. There's 11 penalties last night. And
drop passes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you.
It's not a good look.
Well, I think TJ Houshmandzadeh said earlier, like, what Joe Judge said was they were going to be a disciplined team, that they weren't going to beat themselves. Well, you beat yourself last night.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. You have to clean that up. It could get really rough for the Giants over the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wolf and Shepherd, wearing them now. Dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Gronk, Steve Nash. Join the pack. WolfandShepherd.com. Shepherd. S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. Wolf and Shepherd. Great merch. All right. He's the gaming analyst, Jason McIntyre, digital. He does podcasts. Every week we call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. So you predict, as a former newspaper man, you predict the headlines Monday morning across America. You ready to go?
How about last week when we hit the Steelers? Was that not money? Over the Bills? I mean, come on. This is what we do, folks. This is what we do here.
Pay you. I mean, all we do is give out money. All right, tomorrow's headline today. What's the headline for the Bills at the Dolphins? I'm interested here.
Let's start with the Bills. This is a great game, huge game in the division early. I know Joy's on pins and needles. Can the Dolphins go 2-0? The headline will be Bills look buff compared to Tua. I'm going against Joy's Dolphins 2 weeks in a row. I didn't think Miami won that game so much as New England lost it, right? Damian Harris with the fumble inside the 10.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Didn't cover the spread for me. Buffalo, meanwhile, we were all over the matchup last week. We totally correctly called Pittsburgh winning. The problem is Pittsburgh gets pressure with four, Colin. They don't need to blitz, right? TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward, they were dominant against Buffalo's offensive line. Miami doesn't have that. Miami has to blitz, and now you're leaving Howard and Jones on islands against Diggs. And if you look at the last four matchups, Buffalo, Miami, Buffalo, 4-0, 3-1 against the spread. Josh Allen just has eviscerated this Dolphins secondary because they have to blitz. I like Buffalo going into Miami and getting the win. I think it'll be close, but I like them to get the win.
Tomorrow's headlines today. This is a tasty one. Yes. Niners at the Eagles. What is the headline going to be?
One of the better games in the 1 o'clock lineup. The headline will be Jimmy G, so handsome, it hurts. Little play on your guy, Jalen Hurts. Folks, if you don't know, Colin Cowherd is all in on the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I just would be very careful in this matchup. Now, the Niners are banged up. We know they had lost more guys to injuries, as if last year wasn't enough. It's ugly. But, Colin, let's go back a week, okay? Before week one, if you looked at Super Bowl odds, the 49ers were top five in the league. Philadelphia Eagles were at the bottom. Their win total was 6.5. And all of a sudden, because they crushed the Atlanta Falcons, we're supposed to think the Eagles are on the Niners level. I'm missing something here. I think Kyle Shanahan, who kept his team on the East Coast, they didn't fly west. They stayed in West Virginia. Little kumbaya session for the Niners. They've done this 2 years in a row. And oh, by the way, they came out of both of them and smoked the opponent. Eagles are they're good. I think in the trenches they're strong, but I'm going to go with the Niners here. I'm going against a lot of smart people, including the host of this show.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Steelers, my favorite pick of the week, at the Raiders.
Yeah, this is my largest bet of the week. Not quite a kid's college tuition play, Colin, but it's close. The headline will be Vegas can't keep party going in week two. Listen, the Monday night game was phenomenal. I don't know how many texts I sent with you about that, but it was like, how many times has this game been won or lost? Poor Lamar Jackson. He really blew that game. Fumble in the fourth, fumble in overtime. Raiders look great, all right? We understand they look good. Derek Carr crushed the blitz. Newsflash, we just talked about it. The Steelers don't blitz, Colin. They can get there with four. Raiders lost two guys on the offensive line in that game. Now, TJ Watt, who we know he signed the huge contract, I'm just telling you guys, Carr's going to have some trouble. And we saw this last year, Colin, right? In opening week last year, Raiders, awesome win over the Saints. Then they have to travel east to face the 49ers. And what happens? I'm sorry, the Patriots. Patriots crushed them. Gruden does not like travel. By the way, in the Eastern time zone at 1 o'clock, Carr and Gruden 5-10 against the spread. Pittsburgh wins this easily. I feel like a double-digit victory here for Pittsburgh.
Same. Tomorrow's headlines today, another one of my favorite bets, Saints at the Carolina Panthers.
A little scary when we're in lockstep. I think last year we were only like 10-1 when we both agreed on picks. The headline will be, you Winston, you lose some. Jameis Winston was amazing. Shout out to the headline writer. Jameis Winston was amazing last week. I get it. 148 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. Little bit of a different animal in Carolina who actually can pressure the quarterback. The Packers looked terrible last week.
Yeah.
We don't think they look that bad, but Colin, there's a stat floating around. Teams that cover in week one by 27 or more, like a massive win, come back the next week and are 2-14-1 against the spread. That applies to the Eagles and the Saints this week. So just be careful if you like the Saints. There's a reason that line was at 4 and it's come down to 3.5 and it's hovering around 3 right now. I like Carolina to win outright here. By the way, Christian McCaffrey has never topped 70 yards in 7 meetings against the Saints. This is the McCaffrey game. Check out the injury report. Lattimore's hurt. They have another defensive lineman out. Davenport's gone. I like the Panthers here in a big upset.
By the way, just interesting Matt Rhule effect, the coach.
He's good.
Since the beginning of last year, so this is all these starts with Bridgewater, one with Darnold, Carolina's got fewer 3-and-outs than any team in the league, including Mahomes, Brady.
Yeah.
So what that tells you, as they're rebuilding this thing with an average O-line, Matt Rhule can really, really coach. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. Interesting. I stayed away from this one.
Yeah.
Chiefs at the Ravens. I didn't want
it
any
feels fishy.
Part of this.
It's a great game. I mean, you have to have your eyes on it, but it feels fishy. The headline will be Lamar gets Mahomes schooled again. I don't know how they're out there talking about this as a rivalry. How is it a rivalry if you can't beat the guy? Like, shout out to Lamar Jackson, MVP a couple years ago. Awesome player. But he looked very mortal against the Raiders. The offensive line's banged up. Now, Ronnie Stanley, not going to play this week? By the way, Frank Clark is expected to join the Chiefs. Honey Badger's back. Folks, I'm not touching the Ravens here. They're secondary, really banged up. Patrick Mahomes, we know, like, they started slow against the Browns. It wasn't pretty early, but they just turn it on when they have to. Kansas City's going to win this game, and Baltimore's going to be 0-2. And Colin, this could be, I don't want to be too premature, but does it kind of feel like the Lamar Jackson Super Bowl window is shrinking rapidly?
Well, I didn't feel that. And then they lost three running backs in an hour.
They've had 14 guys go on IR in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, so I don't feel it's shrinking, but I do think there are times. I saw it last year with San Francisco, mm-hmm. Minnesota. Like the wheels come off. Like it's one of those years. So, by the way, San Francisco again is having issues. Sometimes you just get whatever it is.
The New York Jets, a lot of injuries. I have to work the Jets.
All right. We got bonus time, so we never have this much bonus time. Yes.
Thank you for saving extra time for me, by the way.
Of course. Tomorrow's headlines today: Lions at the Packers. Now, first of all, you've had a very good head. I've never laughed four times.
Yes.
You usually get one chuckle out of me and a bunch of cringies. Yeah. Well, you've been very
cringy. What?
Well, but nonetheless, can you keep it rolling with this headline?
All right. Packers Lions. I mean, a Monday night game, you could probably skip, go on Tinder, find a date. The headline will be Rodgers recovers against Goffel Lions.
Not bad.
Okay. Yeah, Detroit Lions are terrible. Let's be honest, folks. They were down 41-17 to the 49ers. They can't tackle Jeffrey Okuda, the great cornerback they drafted top five, out for the year.
He's been a miss. Yeah, been a total miss.
Go look at the numbers. Aaron Rodgers off a loss. Aaron Rodgers off a 20-point loss. Like, he's going to just bludgeon Detroit here. I don't like the Lions at all this year. You know, shout out to Dan Campbell. Hopefully he can galvanize this roster, but they're in some trouble this year. And the Packers, I just want to remind people, they're not as bad as the 38-3 loss to the Saints. They just were ill-prepared. They will win this game handily. Double-digit favorites. Take the Packers and sleep easy.
Okay, so our favorite bet of the week for both of it is Steelers. We also both love the Panthers. Yeah. I don't have a third bet. I will throw this out there. You didn't do a headline. I know it's the sharps like the Cowboys, but do you see Dallas's secondary issues and DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory? So, they have four different defensive starters out against
Aaron Donald, yeah.
Against Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen,
right, Chargers,
Mike Williams. So the sharps love the Cowboys. The injury report moved me into Charger territory.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, so Brandon Staley, first-year head coach, right? He was with the Rams last year in week one, Cowboys versus the Rams. Ezekiel Elliott ran all over them. 22 carries, 96 yards. A surprise last year, right? So Brandon Staley's defense again against the Cowboys. I think Dallas has to run the ball and slow it down. They can't keep up.
You know, Michael Gallup's out of the game.
And Michael Gallup also out. I don't want to say put a, you know. Anyways, if you put me on the spot, I would probably take the Cowboys getting 3.5. Now, I don't know where the line is at this juncture.
It's 3.5 last time I checked.
I think you got to take the hook. We're still talking about the Chargers at home. You know that stadium's going to be 80% Cowboys fans, right?
I know.
SoFi is going to be big Cowboys advantage there.
It is. Yeah. So what was your the Browns are 12.5-point favorites. Yeah. I cannot. It's not in my constitution to take Cleveland, because everybody has in their family somebody who's irresponsible, bad with money, and they can be wonderful people. you would never make them you'd never give them the money if somebody passed away. You would never make them the executor of the will. I cannot trust the Cleveland Browns as a 12.5-point favorite.
So twice last year, they were favored against the Bengals, did not cover. They played down to their opposition a lot. And the Jaguars, they went to Jacksonville. I bet on the Browns, favored by 8. They won by 2. Just be careful with the Browns and big spreads. If you're looking at a big spread and feel like you want to live on the edge, Atlanta Falcons getting 12 against Tampa. Tampa has extra rest off Thursday, but it's a divisional matchup, and we know the Falcons aren't that bad, right? They're not that bad, are they? They lost 32-6 or whatever it was. Can't the Falcons hang with Tampa Bay a little bit?
I don't know. Extra time for Brady usually dooms the opponent.
He's never lost to Matt Ryan ever in his career, dating back to the Super Bowl and Patriots as well.
Jersey Mike's turkey, if it had a resume, it'd be 99% fat-free and raised without antibiotics at Jersey Mike's. Premium meat, subs, a sub above Jersey Mike's. For Jason McIntyre, Brady Quinn, Albert Breer, TJ Hushmanzada, they all joined us on a glorious Friday. Kind of a thin college football weekend. Watch Nebraska at Oklahoma on Fox. We'll see you all Monday.